Welcome back to Behind Design. I'm your host, Rachel Pesso, and today I'm so excited. I have my friend Matt Williams here, and I am so happy you're here, Matt. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I would love for you to tell people a little bit about your business and what you do.
Oh, wow. So kind of do a little bit of everything. Thank you for having me on the show. It's great. What a nice studio we're in as well. So we have a peanut butter snack bar company called FroPro. It's an organic peanut butter plant-based protein snack bar that started as a fun project that I made for myself as I was biking around South Florida and starting my life over. And I was able to share it with a lot of people. And it went from sharing it with friends, family, and the community to having the opportunity to get into a business. And long story short, getting in front of a lot of different people that gave me a chance when otherwise I didn't think I deserved a chance. And we got to a point where we're in Whole Foods, we're in about 1,000 retailers, we're in about 36 states. We have a long way to go, and it feels like we're just starting. But yeah, from the fun making it in my perfect brownie tray in 2011 in West Boca to having our own facility on Clintmore Road in the warehouse district, if you want to call it, off Clintmore in between Congress and Military. Yeah, it's been a pretty cool journey, and yeah, super, super bumped about it. And I feel like I would sound more excited, but I feel like I'm hearing my voice right now, and I'm like, don't get too loud because I can get a little animated in here. So,
oh no, get as animated as you want.
Oh no, please get as animated as possible.
Perfect. Perfect.
Exactly. It's perfect. Well, your story is so inspiring, and I really want to dive a little deeper into it because I feel like you have overcome so much in your life. You've inspired, honestly, probably thousands of people at this point. So I'd love it if you could share a little bit about before FroPro started and just what life was like for you.
Sure. Moved down here in 2010, accepted a job. I was a teacher, coach, educator, whatever you want to call it. I spent a lot of my time up north. I'm from New York originally. And kind of moved around the New York area. After college, I figured I would go into finance, and all my friends were doing the same thing, but ended up coming back to New York, starting grad school. I really loved teaching. I was always kind of involved with that, the coaching aspect. And yeah, I was a teacher. And what essentially brought me down here was a job because there's a thing called tenure. I wasn't getting tenure. I was kind of bouncing around. It was really tough as a young teacher to get a teaching job and kind of lock in. So I had this opportunity. I was on a private teaching website for private schools, ended up getting a job down here as a private school teacher and a coach for baseball. So it encompassed everything that I really wanted. And I kind of picked up my life at 27, 28, moved down here and started over. And it was really great for me. And at the time, because if I look back at it where I am now, I was kind of running away from what I was doing there, which was doing a little drinking, doing a little drugging, all while balancing that life of being Mr. Williams, teacher, coach, and like bartending and doing the things and where we grew up and in Westchester and in the city and in Connecticut and coming down here, starting fresh. But as they say, wherever you go, there you are. And I brought all my shit with me. So yeah, I taught, I coached. And when you get into a routine, right, of being kind of like a top bartender or top anything in a restaurant service, like starting over sucks. So I got a job on the Ave, and I quickly learned what the Ave was when I got here. Within 24 hours, I lived with a friend that introduced me to someone that allowed me to stay there. And I wore out my welcome pretty quick based off like how I went out, if you say. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I had to find another place. And it actually worked out. I was closer to school and I didn't have to drive as much. And long story short, my lives kind of collided May 15th, 2010, where I was at an event, left that event incredibly intoxicated, got pulled over, got a DUI. And it wasn't my first. It wasn't something that was unfamiliar to me, but it was the first time that when I kind of came to out of like my stupor, I share this in my story is when like you ever been in a place where you hear the sounds and you're like, man, I really, really hope I'm not where I think I am. And I was in gun club in Palm Beach and full jumpsuit in general population, dried snot, tears, wicked, just felt like shit and just kind of sat up and was like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm done. I need help. I'm an alcoholic. I don't know what else to say. And there was no one else around. And in the procedure of that, then you go in front of the judge. And it was one of those things where this guy looked at me and I had seen like, I'm standing in a line. I'm not the only one there, right? I'm not the only one that had booked that night. And I was watching these like really tough dudes that were before me come back and look like they just got their soul sucked from snatched, right? And look broken. And I couldn't look at this guy. I couldn't look at the judge in the eyes. And basically was like, you look like you had enough. Have you had enough? And like, I looked down, I was like, yes, sir. And I don't know what to do. I was ready to accept whatever he was going to say. And basically looked at my 10 years. They kind of look at 10 years of your less than stellar attributes. And he said, based on what I'm looking at here, it looks like you may be joining us for a longer period of time, but there is a possibility for you along those lines. And he let me go. And he let me go. And I walked out and I called a friend who was sober. And I said, hey, man, I got arrested again and at gun club and I'm an alcoholic. He was like, no shit, man. What do you need? And he knew. Everyone knew. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't really know what I need. And I was like, call my mom. And I was like, no, don't call my mom. And we had grown up together. And I said, I don't really know what I need, but I'm going to call my girlfriend at the time. And everybody's obviously worried about me. And I felt very ashamed, very embarrassed, less than that point of, yeah, I should probably just take myself out and kill myself because there's no point in me. I'm not going to be able to battle back from this. Like, I've done this before. And what this guy said is, if I'm going to be here, it's what's the point in even trying? And it was great. It was a lot of reality. And I called my two older brothers. I'm the youngest of three. And these are people that I'd really put through a lot. And we hurt our families the most. And when you're doing it, you don't think you're hurting anybody because you're like, it's my life. What the fuck do you care? And they literally dropped everything. And they said, my one brother's like, I'm going to come down. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to leave. Then my other brother's going to come down. And they have families and jobs and everything and lives, right? Yeah. And they dropped everything and kind of navigated the first little bit. And I knew I needed extra help. And I'd gone to a lawyer and he was like, you might want to think about maybe getting some treatment or going to rehab. And I was well aware of that. And I had fought that before and I'd gone to counseling and I've gone to IOPs, and which is intensive outpatient, which is like you go a couple hours a week. And I'd really like not given it a try. And I was finally at that point of a bottom where I was like, I'll do anything you tell me to do to not feel the way I was feeling. And started this journey. So I say my sobriety date is May 17th, 2010. So God willing, this year we'll celebrate 14 years in May.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And just kind of started from scratch. I had a month left. I had not re-signed my contract to go back to the school that I really enjoyed. And I was trying to go back to New York and go back to call it the triangle of terror of being in Stamford, Connecticut, being in New York City and visiting my mom in Westchester where she still lived.
The triangle of terror. That is as accurate as it gets.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. It's like where I did my damage is eventually when you go to three different places and hang out with people, eventually when you wear it, you're welcome one. And then you end up going back to that place at some point. People are like, hey, man, you're great, but like you're too much. And how you operate and how you go out, we don't want to be a part of it. And we like you. We love you. You're great, but you're a mess. And I had heard that before and I just, fuck you. Like, you don't know me and you don't know what I've been through. And I blamed a lot. Like my dad had died and I drank at that. And I had a lot of things I hadn't processed and a lot of things that I didn't really take a look at in myself and how I operated. And I wasn't raised that way. Like my family is an amazing family. My mother and father provided for us and my brothers are exceptionally smart and gifted. And I just never thought I fit. And so May 17th was my first like official day where I didn't have anything in my system. And I was like, all right, here's the deal. And I was essentially teaching that day. And I had all these like guilty feelings because I'm looking at a classroom of these kids that like think I'm great. And that they're fourth graders. And they're like, well, you know, Mr. Williams, blah, blah, blah. I felt like such a phony and such that imposter syndrome. Man, I'm letting these kids down. And I internalized a lot and I beat myself up a lot. And I remember I was sitting there, the kids were taking a test, and I just started like writing in this spiral notebook about what I was feeling, and I still have it. And it was like the beginning of truly journaling for me about what was, as someone would say, what was in my head and on my heart on a piece of paper so I could look at it. And I still have it. And some days I go back, not in a negative way, but just to see what it was like back then. It was pretty dark.
Yeah.
It was pretty heavy stuff. And since it has gotten a lot better. But that was kind of the beginning of the journey for me in life at 28 years old, taking a look at myself and honestly facing myself, looking myself in the mirror and being like, is this who you really want to be? Is this the man that your dad, my father raised? Is this the man your mother raised? Is this the brother you want to be? And it was, when I went through treatment, it was, I'll do 30 days. And I ended up staying for close to 90 days in 2010. My kids, the kids graduated, I had a month left. And I'd gotten honest with, like, everybody knew at the school. I got honest with the headmaster and he was like, oh, you're a young man, things happen. And I said, no, this is more serious than just a stupid mistake. This is my life. And if I don't address this, I probably won't be alive much longer. And very fortunate, I had a couple really good families. You get close to everybody. Yeah. There's a couple really good families that were incredibly kind to me. And one of those families, I remember the mother had come in and she had heard and she sat down and I was just like, oh my God, I didn't resign the contract. I don't know what I'm going to do. I may be going to jail. I have the treatment, blah, 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 blah. And she looked at me and she's like, it's going to be okay. And I'm like, how would you know? And she told me she was like over 20 years sober. And I was like, wow. Whoa. Like, I was like, you're super successful and had this family and kids and great life and home. And it's like, I couldn't believe it. And then another mother had said, I want you to call my husband. And I was terrified of this guy because he was one of those like very tough guys from New York. They're down here. And anytime I interacted with him, which was once or twice, I felt like he knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like it. It was very uncomfortable. He made me very uncomfortable because he could see through my bullshit.
Yeah.
And I remember calling him and he's, I'm going to come pick you up, Mr. Williams. And he picked me up and he took me to a meeting. And he took me to a meeting in West Boca and I went to AA. And it wasn't the first time I had been to AA in that fellowship. And I sat there and I listened. And it was the first time where I truly listened to other people and listened to their experiences and what they say, their experience, strength, and hope. And I felt a part of, like these people understand. Like these people have been through it. And I heard some things in there that I was like, wow, I can't believe that this, you know, this person's sober and the things that I heard that they went through and the loss of children and the just crazy tragedies. Yeah. And they didn't drink. Wow. And I was like, wow. And it wasn't like a, oh my God, I'm going to do this. It was just kind of like a very eye-opening experience for me and very changing. It was a change for me because I didn't know anything else. I had heard of it after my first DUI. I was out of college, the one I got caught for, where I was like, what do people do when they get DUIs? And they go to AA. And I remember I went to a couple meetings and I was just like listening to these people. And I was like, nothing like these fucking people. Like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever. Screw that. And then fast forward 7 years later and I had done everything they had said and then some. And yeah. I was just in a position to finally be open. And I'm grateful for that because I don't regret it. I don't look back and be like, I can't believe that happened because I wouldn't be sitting here if all of that didn't happen.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all that. I think, again, it's so brave still. Like, I'm sure it doesn't get easier each time to share it. I think there's so much in there. But I also want to kind of switch the flip here and talk about how basically you overcame all this. Mm-hmm. And there was a turning point where you're like, okay, I'm changing my life now. And what does that mean? And then that's kind of where FroPro was born.
Yeah.
So I wanted you to tell a little bit about that story because it's honestly so inspiring.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I'd gone through, see, May, June, July. Yeah. I don't know how many months it was into it. I think I had a birthday that September. I think I turned 29. And I was working odd jobs. There's a couple people that had given me chances that a former student's parent had given me a job and tried to help me out. And a couple parents who I coached there, they said, hey, man, things happen. And I was able to do some work at Patchreef Park and do some baseball stuff and make a little bit of money. And I was biking everywhere. And I was working at this one job through my girlfriend at the time had introduced me to a family friend. And I just started doing some work. And it was one of those deals where they didn't really need to hire me. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like assisting anybody that needed help. And they'd give me a project and you have 2 weeks to do this. And I do it in a couple of days. And then what? And they said, yeah, just kind of sit there and wait till someone needs you. And I'm okay. And I just started reading. I'm not the biggest reader, but I'm sitting at a desk at a computer. So I was reading about health and wellness and fitness and trying to figure out what can I do? What more can I do to work and do things? And just kind of said, oh, like, kind of reading these health blogs. And I said, I see this and I see that and like healthy food. And I was like, I can make something. And I just went home and started making this. I love peanut butter. And I had this basic rudimentary stuff in my pantry. And it was like Metrics protein, peanut butter, and you know, some oats, whatever I had. It was very basic. I didn't have much money. I wasn't making much money. So it was like, what can I make? And I made this thing. And I was like, oh, this is really good. And it tasted like dessert and it had protein in it. And I could put it in a Ziploc bag and pack it in my bag because I biked everywhere. And I'm not like packing a tuna sandwich to bike around Florida and get rained on and all this other stuff. So it's like one of those things where you pack a bag. It's like, I don't know when I'm going to come back today. So I need like a change of clothes. If I'm training people, I need a change of clothes. Maybe a rain jacket or whatever it is. Right. And that's kind of what it was. And that's, I started making these things and I'd pull them out and I'd eat them. And whatever client I was working with, oh, what is that? And it ended up being the daughter of this woman who was in PR and marketing. And I said, hey, check with your mom because of food allergies as a teacher. Like certain kids can't have things, eat certain things. And she said, try it. And the kid was eating it. It was great and blah, blah, blah. And she said, wow, like is that healthy? And I said, yeah. My kid doesn't eat anything healthy. And I said, well, she's eating something healthy now. And basically, she said, can you make that? And I said, sure. I was at tutoring and coaching at the house. And I went in and I grabbed all these ingredients and mixed it together and made it right there.
That's awesome.
And she was like, wow, this is really good. What do you call it? And I'm like, nothing. It's just something I make. And she's like, I think you have something here. And I was like, oh, that's really nice of you to say, but didn't think anything of it, left. And came back I don't know whether it was next week or the next session. And you know, she said, I think you need to do something. Do you have a credit card? And like I was like, yeah. And she didn't really know my situation. Right. She's, oh, you bike here because you're healthy. I was like, yeah, sure. That's it. That's why I biked here. And she said, well, what do you want to call it? And I was like, I don't know. I put it in a tray, a freezer, frozen Fro-Pro. And she said, oh, she was like, and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm looking up websites. I was like, how do you do that? She's like, just, yeah. Well, this name's taken. And I was like, she's like, well, where did you find Fro-Pro? I was like, I guess Go Fro-Pro, like Geo Fro-Pro. I don't know. And she's like, great. She like bought all these domains and she's like, cool. Now go figure out your business. And I was like, cool story. Like, don't know what you're talking about. And I really didn't do much other than make it for myself and drive around. And I started working at Slash Fitness. Those guys, I had met them and started training there in the mornings and doing some of their classes. And I asked the guys, I was like, hey, do you mind if we just put this out for people at the end? It's free just to get some feedback. And I'll just put a list of what it is. And if people want it, they can try it. I don't want them to know it's mine because I didn't want them to be like, oh, the poor sober guy starting over. Like, oh, good job, buddy.
Yeah.
Like I wanted real feedback. I wanted like natural, like, hey, do you like this or not? Why not? And it went for a week or two and then someone wanted to try it. And she had been training and she looked at the guys and I was like, yeah, no, I'll talk to her. And I said, yeah, I make it with this. She's like, hey, have you ever tried? I want to try, but I was using like a whey base. And she's like, I don't do dairy. And have you tried vegan or vegetarian protein or whatever it was, plant-based protein? I was like, I know nothing about that. And she said, well, give it a try and let me know. And so I was like, oh, okay. And like biked over to nutrition shop or whatever that place is and got some chocolate protein and made it the same way with chocolate protein, brought it back to her. And she's like, wow, this is delicious. Can you make me 100 of these? And I said, no, I don't know how to do that. I can make like 12 at a time. And she's like, well, just do it 10 times and make me 100 and figure out how to put it in something and bring it to me. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I own a juice bar. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, no way.
I said, where is it? And she's like, way East Boca. And I'm like, how am I going to get it there? So figured out how to make it, figured out, I put it in Glad Press and Seal, printed stickers on a computer and put like a little Fro-Pro thing on it and brought it to her. And I brought it to her and I was like, hey, and I had friends that were lawyers. They were just like, they gave me this like thick piece of like several pieces, like this document saying like, this is protecting Matt and blah, 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 blah. And she laughed and like threw it away. And she said, how much did this cost for you to make? And I was like, I have no idea. And she's like, well, you should probably know that. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I brought you 100 bars. That's what you told me to do. And she said, well, I tell you what, this will be on consignment. So if I sell these, I'll pay you this and we'll go from there. And I was like, cool. And I like ran out of there like, whoa, this is great, but like left.
Right.
Didn't think anything of it. And 3 days later, she said, I sold out of all your product. Can you make me another 100? And I was like,
so cool.
What do you mean? She's like, well, I have a check here for you for X amount and bring me another 100. And instead of consignment, I know they sell. So I'll just pay you when you get here. Oh, okay. So I like had the notebook and I like wrote down like, I made 100 bars and this is what it made me. And I wrote shit down in a notebook, like with like a pen or pencil. And I brought it to her again. And then she says, hey, I have a friend that's doing this in Delray. You should drop some off to her. So you would see things. She ordered. And then I was like, huh, okay, cool. And like, didn't think anything of it other than like, these people like my bar.
You're like, oh, I'm helping people try new snacks.
Right. And they're eating new snacks and they like my snack. That's cool. And it was just very slow. It was very just like me sharing a product with somebody else. There's no thought of business. There's no thought of anything else. And then that owner introduced me to someone else. And then I had been eating these meals at one place, Fit Food Express, and I asked them, and he was kind of like, yeah, dude, no. And I was like, oh, okay. I was making them out of my home at that time. And basically, I learned if you want to be a business in Florida and sell in green markets, you could be under the Cottage Act, which allows you to make stuff at home, indicate you're making it at home, which some people don't care about. Other people can't, but you can't sell it anywhere in like a real place.
Got it.
Without the FDA or the Department of Health. So I had a friend who had a kitchen in way West Boca. I said, hey, can I rent space from you? Because I don't really understand what I'm doing, but like I'm making a little bit of money. I can pay you X amount if you just give me a chance. I said, sure, no problem. Came in, gave me a chance. And I just started making them on really off hours when his business wasn't in operation, which was like usually late at night. And just started making as many bars as I could with
the
ingredients.
Did anybody help you, or it was just all you just at me. That time? Wow, yeah, that's so just wild. Me.
Like my mother-in-law, well, my girlfriend's, blew the story there, but my girlfriend's mother, which is now my mother-in-law, she helped a little bit. My girlfriend, now wife, Chelsea, just kind of like watched me do it. She wasn't like too interested in getting into the kitchen to make any of this. And I was making a mess. So I was like, great, this is out of our home. You're going somewhere else to do this. Fantastic. Yeah. And then when I was working there, there was a couple guys that saw what I was doing and they were looking for work and they started helping me out. And it just kind of slowly just grew bit by bit. And then other people were like, hey, where can I get this? Can I order directly from you? And I started just making batches for people and putting them in plastic bags and leaving them at Slash or leaving them for somebody that had liked the product or tried it from someone else when they're at their home. And that's how it started.
Yeah, I love this story because it really also shows the power of the local market.
Yeah.
Because truthfully, like it would have never happened if these people that locally were like, just like, oh, try it. Let's see. This is great. Let me see if anybody wants this. And it kind of goes back to me, like really old school version of business that is like kind of feels really far away from reality at this point, but it's still out there because that's how good ideas start. You try something. So I love your story because for you, it was so like, I'm just doing this. I'm surviving. I'm trying new things, but it really is the beginning start of something so amazing. And now, like where you've grown it to, flash forward, I mean, it's amazing what you've been able to accomplish.
Yeah. No, the community, I say this all the time, the community did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And people showed up for me that had no idea and there was nothing in it for them other than being supportive. And a lot of people along the way that gave me direction that could have been like, hey man, like get lost or kick rocks. Like it was, when I look back at it and I look at the people that gave me a chance and that said, hey, just keep going. Just don't give up. And we move forward. You had a bad day, whatever. Don't let any of that kind of get in the way. And deep down, like I never shared this for years, I never shared this, but like when I was sitting at that desk and coming up with things and like started making this, I was like, it made me feel good, right? When I made it for myself and it was something I had done. And, you know, I just was like, man, this is so cool that, you know, I love this. Other people love this. It's helping me pay my rent. It's helping me, you know, get back on my feet. And it still really wasn't a business. It was just like a project. And I still feel like we're just getting started right now, even where we are, because we've gone to these different levels of here we are, here we are, here we are. And we just feel like we're starting again with like the amount of time, effort, and money we put into really outfitting where we are now. But those early stages are really exciting, very 7 days a week, all hours, no off. Working one job, running to another job, doing this on the side. It was 3 to 4 years of nonstop work every single day, but it was fun. Yeah. So it didn't feel like work. I was doing something that felt good, that made other people feel good. And like it felt like I was on a roll. And deep down inside, whether you believe in whatever you believe in, whatever, I just felt like it was like this idea that was given to me by the universe, like universal higher power, God, whatever you want to call it. And regardless of people poking holes in it, this is stupid, refrigerated snack bar, stupid, Florida, blah. Like, I've heard everything. Oh, you use honey, you kill bees, blah. I heard everything. And I just was like, hey, I want everybody to like this. Not everybody's going to like this. And even with changes, people are like, what a dumb fucking idea. Like, why would you do that? You change this, you change that. I'm like, I have to evolve to grow. And I have to grow to continue to share this product in the right way and do it the right way. And that was important to me once I realized like I did, like more power to the Cottage Act, because I mean, Green Market's like, I mean, they're incredible. You have to be there every day or every weekend, and you have to show up and you can't miss. And like, I didn't have the money for one of those. I didn't have the money for years for that. It was just word of mouth. And everybody, you know, and then nowadays it's like, well, you should be on Shark Tank. And I'm like, that'd be cool exposure.
Yeah.
That'd be really great. But at the same time, it's just, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And that hasn't happened yet. But we got to a point where someone reached out to, I don't know if we were married at that point, reached out to Chelsea and was like, what is this FroPro thing that I see you post about on Facebook? And we were dating. She's like, oh, it's my boyfriend's. And she's like, cool. She's like, you should come by. I work in marketing at Whole Foods. And we're like, yeah, okay. And we got a meeting randomly at Whole Foods, went in and like shared the product. Like they ate it first. I saw people like it. And then we started to talk business, right? And we started to talk like, oh, this is how I do this. And you could see they were bored. Like how many pitches they had received that day. And my wife, being the awesome woman that she is, was like, all right, hold the phone. She's like, listen, guys, like you love the product. We're up here talking about numbers. The truth is my husband or Matt started this because he had nothing. He was sober. He was starting over. And like, this is his passion project. And we don't know what the fuck we're doing here. I can't believe we're standing in front of you. We're really grateful for it. So we hope you like it. And we hope we have an opportunity, but we really don't know what we're doing here. And you could see their faces change. And one guy like pointed and he was like, that's it. Yeah. He's like, this is the story I'm talking about. Tell me more. And we kind of shared, and I was getting a little emotional, and I'm trying, don't get emotional, don't cry in front of these people because this guy's a mess. We don't need to deal with this guy. And it just got really, it got real.
Yeah.
And stories were exchanged between the people there with, on whether it be family or friends that had struggled with addiction. So they connected to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
I love that you brought that up because it's something we talk about a lot here, which is creating emotional experiences in your brand. And right. People connect with your story. And to be honest, there's a million protein bars. There's a million types of products like that on the market, but no one has your story and nobody has kind of what you put into this. And I think like the other part of it is that building brands are so time consuming. And I think like in the world we live in, it kind of looks like from the outside, it's always like a quick thing, like especially with how things are now, like you go viral and your whole life can change. And I think it's a lot of false narrative that lives in there, because you talk to anybody, especially in the product space, like anybody who builds a product, it's very hard work from day one to wherever they are. And it doesn't stop with all brands. I mean, we have to consistently put in to up level and change and grow. And I think that's the work that we're all here to do.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if you truly love it, sure.
Absolutely. It's hard, but it's worth it, especially when it's something you care about. And right. I love that the brand also, like you have a culture. I think there's lots of people that are connected to what you do and how you do it. I mean, you live a really healthy lifestyle as well. It's inspiring for people. And honestly, people are looking for stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's awesome. So what's next for FroPro then? Because I feel like I am so excited to hear about where you're headed next.
Yeah, the expansion has been a lot of patience. I joke about that with a friend of mine. We always talk about Gary Vee and macro patience and taking the time to never give up and just keep forging ahead. And where we are now is like we're waiting on a couple of meetings and a couple of yeses that we hopefully get to expand the product even more. Whole Foods has been our lifeline. And we've tried other things and tried other places and online. And before the show, we're talking about TikTok and we've worked with influencers and athletes and artists and all these different people, and things work and some don't. And you think you're doing great online, and then someone audits your online, what you're doing online, and like, wow, you're wasting a lot of money here. Oh, this really worked. And you know, I think with all of that, for me, I think having the right people and building a team, if you're building a business and you're building a brand, having the right team in place. And no one's ever going to give a shit about my business as much as me do. But I can stop. I can't say that anymore because my wife does. And my wife is the CEO of the company. I'm just the founder. I took a step away last year and really focused on building the team and building the infrastructure around our business so that we had the right people in place to help grow it, because it's way over my pay grade, right? Like I can't sit at a desk. I can do this. I can go to events. I can sling peanut butter. I can work out. I can talk to people until I'm blue in the face because I love it. But you need a strong operator. You need a strong person that handles the day-to-day, and Chelsea is that person. And we had somebody come in that lost a job as part-time during COVID. She helped out, and I didn't know how long she says she would stay and if she liked it. And she, it really kind of aligned with her. So Emily came in, and now Emily's a director of operations. Cool. Like, she is, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing without Emily. She really, like, I get emotional. Like, she stepped up, and like, she tells me what to do when I walk in there. So I try not to walk in there too much because I'm going to get put to work, which is fine. And then recently it's been really cool. We've gotten a lot of part-time help from guys that are just getting sober and just looking for something. It may not be long-term. It might be, but you know, guys that have been coming in, it's a place that they can go where it's safe. It's not a business that involves, which are down here and lying, cheating, or stealing from people. And it's just like good hard work where they show up and they have a good group of people around them, and we treat them like family. And whether they leave or not, they're always going to be a part of the story. So I think that's hugely important when people are building a business and a brand, right? Is to have really good people around you. And even though there's all these people running and doing and being a part of it, at the end of the day, it comes down, the buck stops with me, right? Because if something goes wrong, it's not on any one of them, it's on me. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that. And my wife wears the heavy crown sometimes and can go through it, and we talk about it, and I'm just like, hey, like, we're all in this together, and like, please understand, whatever you do is what you believe to be true, and I fully support you.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. And it's also so great. I mean, you guys have such an amazing partnership, and that takes work too. It is not for the lighthearted to work with your significant other. A lot of people out there know that. So kudos to you guys for figuring that out as well. But this has been so great. Thank you so much for sharing it all. Absolutely. I mean, so if someone's listening today, what is the best place that they can get in touch with you or connect with you?
Easiest to get in touch with me is Instagram, MWARWilliams, MWARWilliams, or you can go to FroProSnacks, @FroProSnacks. Look us up, check us out. We're doing some fun stuff on TikTok right now, which is, again, way over my head. But yeah, whether it's in regards to business, if I can be of service, or you're going through it with anything in life, drugs, alcohol, mental, anything, I'd be happy to try and help. I do put this out there, and some people are weirded out by it, but you can reach me directly. My cell phone is 914-772-6343. If I can be of service in any way, please reach out, and hopefully I can help in whatever you're looking for.
Thank you so much. This was so awesome.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could download, follow, and leave me a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred platform. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And remember, the best way to create a brand you love is to be yourself